the very beginning of his Pirush Talmud Bavli, Rabbi Onisim Gon writes that there is a category of mitzvot that are called mitzvot sichlios, mitzvot that are rational, that which we can easily comprehend. And Rabbi Nissim Gon writes that everyone, all of humanity, are obligated in those particular mitzvot, min hayom asher bara Elokim adam al haaretz, from the time of Bria Shamayim va'aretz. When it comes, of course, to Taryag mitzvot, there we assume Taryag mitzvot nemer Moshe Misinai, but even Bnei Noach are obligated in this category of mitzvot that is simply to be rationally based. And this is somewhat similar to a comment of the Ramban in Parshas Noach and Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Gimel, where the Ramban is troubled by the following. When you look throughout the Psukim, you see that the Dor HaMabul was guilty of various grievous chataim. They violated Isurei Arayos, Avodah Zarah, and of course the Isur of Gezel as well. And the Ramban is troubled that why is it that somehow Gezel is singled out. Yes, the Dor HaMabul was worthy of destruction, but why was it that particularly that was the catalyst? The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Vav, that Lo Nechtam Dino Ela Al HaGezel. Gezel was considered to be the immediate cause of this destruction. So why exactly is that true of all the Averos that were violated at that particular time? So the Ramban writes, on the one hand, Gezel is something that is Rala Shamayim, as well as Rala Brios. It's not simply considered to be a breach ben Adam Lamakom, but also a breach ben Adam Lechavero. And then the Ramban writes that Gezel is an example of something where there is a Siba Muskeles. That is something that is wholly rational. In any just society, they would outlaw thievery and stealing. And the Ramban writes, when it comes to cases of Gezel, that Eino Tzarech Navi Lahazir Alav. There's no need for a Navi, for a Tzivui, to tell us explicitly that this is considered to be forbidden. And that's why the Torah emphasizes the violation of Gezel, because it's true that Ben Noach are obligated in the Isser of Gezel, but irrespective of the Tzivui, nonetheless there was a certain expectation. And therefore, when they breached Gezel, that was a basis in order to destroy the world at that particular time. It's similar to what the Ramban writes later in Perek Yotes Pasuk Hey, when it comes to the destruction of the city of Sodom. Because after all, if you look in the Pasuk in Yechezkel, in Perek Tezayin, there the Navi tells us that Yad Ani Ve'Evyon Lo Hechzika, the indictment, the guilt of the city of Sodom, was they didn't properly practice tzedakah. They didn't go ahead and uphold the hand of the Ani and the Evyon. And that, no doubt, is somewhat surprising, because after all, is tzedakah even considered to be part of the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach? There is a comment of the Ran. The Ran is found in Sanhedrin Adav Nun Vav, where the Ran maintains that even a Ben Noach is obligated in the mitzvah of tzedakah. And he brings two proofs that this is true, one in the positive and one in the negative. The positive is regarding Avraham Avinu. The Torah tells us that Ki Yedativ, Mamana She Yetzav Ezbonav Ezbeisarach Rav Shama Derech Hashem, Lasso Tzedakah Mishpat. Avraham Avinu was chosen. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I love Avraham Avinu because my confidence in him to perpetuate the Mesorah to the coming generations. And the Pasuk concludes, Lasos Tzedakah U'Mishpat. If that was the praise of Avraham Avinu, apparently the Ran writes that even a Bnei Noach is obligated in the mitzvah of Tzedakah. And then the Ran writes, the Rai is also from the destruction of Sodom. That if the Gemara tells us, that the Ramban emphasizes that the Gzar Din of Sodom was because they failed to give appropriate tzedakah, so in such a case, isn't that an absolute indicator that even a Ben Noach is obligated in the mitzvah of tzedakah? And if you'll ask that, you know, on my list of Sheva Mitzvot Ben Noach, we don't see the mitzvah of tzedakah, so how could you argue that a Ben Noach is obligated in this mitzvah? There the Ram comments that that really is not a question at all, because after all, even in yesterday's Kriya Sator, the Torah tells us, V'yom v'layla lo yishvosu, that a Nachri is not allowed to go ahead and to observe Shabbos. The Gemara tells us, Akum Sheshabbos Chayiv Misa. So the Gemara asks, but that's not part of our list of Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, so how can you argue that that is true? The Gemara answers, Kum Asei lo kachoshim. That the Gemara, the Shel tells us, the Shemes, the Seinoach, are referring to that which a Nochri is obligated to refrain from. However, Kumesei, anything that a non-Jew is obligated to do, that is not listed in Shev Mitzvah's Beinoach. So the Ran argues that justice is true when it comes to Lo Yishbosu, the same thing is true when it comes to Tzedakah as well, that it's clear from the Psukim that a Beinoach is obligated in Tzedakah. Number one, the praise of Rambavita. Number two, the indictment of the city of Sodom. Yet it's not included in Shev Mitzvah's Beinoach. It doesn't have to be included because all of those are Isurim. The one is obligated to refrain, but rather Kumasei Lo Choshem. So that indeed is the Shita of the Ran, that a Beinoach is obligated in Tzedakah. Similarly, this also is the view of the Rokeach.
Yes. Isn't one of the Shemitzos Beinoach to set up a court system? Is that
what right. Dinim, though, has aspects of both. In other words, the question is, the Gemara says Kumasei Lo Choshem. And Dinim, it has elements of Kumasei. So anything which is fused, which is mixed, there's elements of Isurim and elements of Kumasei. The Rambam, for example, writes that Dina means that you have to just simply enforce the other six mitzvahs. So therefore that's not necessarily called something explicitly which is Kumasei. It's a reinforcement of the balance of the Isurim that come to a Ben Noach. So therefore the Ran writes that a Beinoach is obligated in the mitzvah of tzedakah. This is also the view of the Sefer Rokeach. The Sefer Rokeach in Simen Shin Samachov raises the following question, that why is it that we don't make a bracha on the mitzvah of tzedakah? Why exactly is that the case? So various reasons can be given to explain the fact that there is no birchas hamitzvah on tzedakah. If you look, for example, in the Tshuva Sarashba, Tshuva Yerkes, the Rashba writes that, I think we've probably all experienced this, that you offer the money to the ani, and he looks and he refuses, right? He's not willing to accept. So therefore, the Rashba writes that it's not something that you control. And therefore, a mitzvah you do not control, you cannot have a birchas hamitzvah. That's the chiddush of the Rash Bashita. Imagine the leverage, no, that Anani would have if you would make a bracha and tzedakah in offer, and now if he didn't accept, that would be a bracha shino tzricha. So in such a case, there is no bracha, and okay, he accepts, he doesn't accept, but nonetheless, right, there is no bracha that Rashba writes for that particular reason. It's interesting, though. What do you do with a bracha that is not something which is under your control? We discussed in earlier shiurim, birchas erusin, that you make a bracha on marriage, the first bracha, the birchas erusin. What is the nature of birchas erusin? The Rambam writes, it's a birchas hamitzvah. Because the Rambam Shita is that not only is there a mitzvah of Pruravu, there also is a mitzvah of Ishus, an independent mitzvah of Kikach Ishisha, and Berchas Erisin is a Berchas HaMitzvah. The Baliyat also disagree and maintain that it's not true that Berchas Erisin is a Berchas HaShavach. It's a Berchas HaShavach. Right? Just like we're obligated at times to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for many experiences, well, of course, marriage is an absolute opportune moment to be able to echo Shavach Bahodah. So it's considered to be a Berchas HaShavach. So one of the differences as to whether it's a Berchas HaMitzvah or Berchas HaShavach is when exactly do you recite this bracha, before or after? Is it over L'Asiyasan or is it L'Achar L'Asiyasan? According to the Rambam that it's a Berchas HaMitzvah, you say it before. And according to many of the Baliyat Osos, you say the bracha afterwards. The Ravid has an interesting split. The Ravid maintains that in principle I agree with the Rambam and in practice with the Baliyat Osos. In principle the Rambam is correct, that really it is the Berchas HaMitzvah. But this is not something that the Chassan controls, no? He, the Mesaver Kedushin, is going to recite the bracha, but how do you know that the Kala is going to accept the Kesev? I know that she's willing to do that. It's not something that I fully control. And therefore, the Ravid writes, whenever you have a mitzvah that you don't fully control, you make the bracha after the fact. After the fact. And that's the Ravid Shita, that in principle it is a Berchas HaMitzvah, but it's a Berchas HaMitzvah which is La'achar HaSiyasa. So that's not unheard of. The Gemara Pesachim et Avzayin writes that's true when it comes to Tefillah. Let's say a person is converting. They recite the bracha on Tefillah before the Gerus, when they're not Jewish, they recite the bracha afterwards. That's the Gemara Pesachim et Avzayin. Tosfos writes, and brachos on Daf Nun Aleph, The same thing when it comes to al netilas yadayim. But it's not really appropriate to go and make the bracha when your hands are foul and then go ahead and wash. So therefore, it's also right, first wash and then make the bracha of al netilas yadayim. It's not so unusual that sometimes you'll have a bracha after the fact. The Gemara writes that's the secret to Dalet Minim. Now, because after all, Dalet Minim, there's a built-in paradox that the mitzvah is to take the Dalet Minim. But whenever you make a bracha, the object of the bracha should already be in your hand. You shouldn't make a bracha of amotzi and then reach for the challah. You should have the challah in your hand and then make the bracha of amotzi. So you should have the Dalet Minim in your hand and make the bracha. But once you pick it up, you're ready osim, you dag bay, nothing bay. You know what the answer the Gemara gives? In Sarkim and Azayim obeys? That's why the bracha is not lito lulav, lahaba. That's why the bracha is al netilas lulav, because you make the bracha after the fact. You make the bracha after the fact. We're so used to, we're conditioned by Tosus. Now, the Tosus from Sarkim and Azayim, the Tosus from Sukkim and Aflamites, that I'll give you a way that you can hold it, and not yet be yotzei, so you can salvage the bracha before the mitzvah. So therefore, hold it upside down, have in mind not to be yotzei. Right? That's Tosus, the solution to the problem. The Vonagon is very bothered. That's Tosus, the solution to the problem. The Gemara says that's why Chazal instituted the bracha after the fact. Al netilas lulav. The Rambam writes, if you make a bracha before, the bracha should be lito lulav, not al netilas lulav. That's what the Rambam writes in Perek Yud Aleph of Hofos Brachos. But there are many cases of a bracha which is not something that you fully control. And what exactly is the solution? So the Rashba solution is you can't make a bracha. And the Ravid solution is you make a bracha after the fact. There is a Tosus. The Tosus is found in Menachos and Afsamachema days when it comes to Shivanakim. Why is no bracha on counting the seven clean days? Why is no bracha? The Pasuk says, Bistafra la, Bistafra la. So the Ramban writes that maybe the reason there's no bracha is because it's not a mitzvah of sphere, it just simply means to calculate. Calculate when the days of Tum and the days of Tara occur. Calculate, but not a mitzvah of sphere. But Tosus apparently is assuming, no, there's a mitzvah of sphere, so if you count all the days of the Omer, and Tosus even writes a chiddush, not clear in the Gemara, and when Bezdin counts the years of the Yovel, they convene every year and recite a bracha, I'm counting the year of the Yovel. This is the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth year of the Yovel. The Ramban has a suffix about that. So why isn't there a bracha on counting Shivanakim? So Tosus writes that that's in a biyada. That's not something that you control. Similar to this concept. Now, you're going to count day one, day two, day three, but maybe that'll be interrupted. And it turns out that what happened to all the brachas that you recited up until now. So therefore, Tosus says the Shematir Batistar is not something that you control, and therefore Tosus writes there is no bracha. So it's a fascinating machlokas for Shonim as to whether the fact that something is not wholly under your domain, is that a reason not to recite a bracha, or could one possibly recite a bracha after the fact? But the Tshuvas HaRashba and Siman Yud Ches writes, there's no bracha on the mitzvah of tzedakah because it is not something that you fully control. I was once with a very, very, very chashuv Rosh Kolo that he told me he was in the hospital with the Satmar Rebbe, and the Satmar Rebbe was very, very thirsty, and the doctor said he shouldn't drink. But the Satmar Rebbe knew better. He knew he could drink and he would be okay. But this person was in a dilemma. He wasn't about to give him the water, no. So the Satmar Rebbe bracha shakal. Okay? So what's he going to do now? He's not going to give him the water. Like, ooh. So they gave him the water and that was it. Problem solved. No, so if something is not biyada, what's going to happen to that for that particular bracha? So that's the Tshuva Sarash and Tshuva Yud Ches. Right? That in such a case that if something is not under your domain, you cannot recite a bracha. And that's why he writes, you don't make a bracha on tzedakah. The Rambam seems to answer this in one swoop. Because when the Rambam introduces a bracha on a mitzvah, Perek Yud Aleph, of those brachas, the Rambam writes, a mitzvah which is ben adam mamakom. Wow. That's not found anywhere in Shas. No? When the Rambam just introduces, when do you recite a berachas mitzvah? The Rambam just throws in, ben adam mamakom. That's a very great chiddush. Sounds in the Rambam, know that you never make a bracha on a mitzvah which is ben adam, the chavera. So there's no bracha on bikur cholim, nicha avedam, kibad avayim, and tzedakah, and kuras hameis. None of those cases have a bracha. The Rambam is simply one teretz. The Sefer Okeach writes the following interesting chiddush. A bracha is asher kiddushon ha-mitzvah sa v'tzivana. a bracha is a manifestation of Kedushas Yisrael. Asher Kedushana Mitzvosav Vitzivana. And therefore the Sefer Okeach writes, whenever you have a shared mitzvah that Jews and non-Jews are obligated in, there is no bracha on that mitzvah. That's the Sefer Okeach. Shin Samach Vav. And the Sefer Okeach writes, and that's tzedakah. That's tzedakah. Ben Noach is obligated in tzedakah. After all, Avraham Avinu was obligated in tzedakah. Stone was destroyed because of their failure too. They are obligated in tzedakah, and therefore there is no berachas mitzvah on the mitzvah of tzedakah. So various different possibilities as to why there's no bracha on the mitzvah of tzedakah. Either because he may not accept, and is dependent on the acceptance of the mekabel, of the ani, or ben adam lechavero, or it's considered to be a shared mitzvah. That's the chiddush of the Sefer HaRokeach. You know, we mentioned the Rambam Shita, is that Birchas Erisin is a Birchas HaMitzvah. So the Rishonim that disagree raise the obvious question. It doesn't sound like a Birchas HaMitzvah. It's true, it began Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvosav. But if it was really a Birchas HaMitzvah on marriage, shouldn't it be Asher Kedushanu Mitzvosav V'Tzivanu B'Kadesh HaSayisha? Now, the bracha is such a long bracha that echoes a Birchas HaShevach. No, you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and once you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you throw in all different other themes as well. It doesn't sound like a Birchas HaMitzvah. So the simple kasha, many Rishonim are bothered by, how does the Rambam maintain that it's a Birchas HaMitzvah? Why is it such an elongated bracha? Why does it have so many themes? So one could suggest the following answer. The Sefer HaKeach writes that if something is shared, you can't recite a Berachas HaMitzvah. The concept of Ishus, that's limited to Klal Yisrael. Isn't there a concept of Ishus even when it comes to Bnei Noach as well? When it comes to the Parsha of Yifas Tovar, now the Pasuk says Ishus Yifas Tovar. Ishus Yifas Tovar. The Gemara has a drasha Barabbos, Ishus Ish. It also says, you see that even a Bnei Noach has Ishus as well. Ishus as well. There's a concept of Ishus when it comes to a Ben Noach. So I ask you the following. If the Torah recognizes marriage of Jews and marriage of non-Jews, so if that really is true, so how then can you recite the Berachas HaMitzvah? So the simple answer is that, you're right, there's Ishus of Yisrael, there's Ishus of Ben Noach, but there's no Gzeira Shavah. These aren't identical institutions. The Ishus of Yisrael is unique. That is not the same seamless Ishus of Ben Noach. So I ask you the following. Where do you see that that's true? That the Ishus of Yisrael is distinct, set apart from Ishus of Ben Noach. I'll tell you the following. Well, we have Erisin, we have Nisuin. That's not true of Ben Noach. Tosus writes, V'ulas Baal Yeshlein. Like the Rambam describes, called them out in Torah. A couple would just kind of just live together as husband and wife. But there wouldn't be that formal issues that we have of Erisin and Nisuin. And I'll bring you a further raya, and that's as follows. Marriage results in arayas. A person gets married, for example, his sister-in-law, right, is forbidden. Now, there's an iser arayos that is a function of issues. Arayos is not limited to Jews. Even Bnei Noach also have arayos. Arayos is part of the Shem and Bnei Noach. But you know what? They're different arayos. The list of arayos, of illicit relationships for Jews, is not the same as a non-Jew. This is important in halacha. Maybe once in a blue moon, I'll get a call from a non-Jew saying, you know, I realize there's Shem and Bnei Noach, and one of them is arayos, who am I allowed to know not allowed to marry? Okay, but maybe more common is the following. The Gemara writes, Lachar Gerus, anyone who the non-Jew was not allowed to marry when he was not Jewish, that issa remains even after Gerus, even though Gershon Yisgayer is Kekatnan Olodami. So you have to know the list of arayos after Gerus. We're going to tell the convert, you know, these are people you're not allowed to marry. So therefore it's important to know. The Ramban writes the following. They're natural arayos. When it comes to non-Jews, a non-Jewish man cannot marry his sister. But you don't have the concept of issues right, the relationships that are a function of marriage. The fact that one cannot marry my wife's that is Jew, but as opposed to a case of Einan Jew. Interesting Kiddush. No, that's clear. So in other words, if someone were to ask you, where do you see that there's uniqueness to Ishus of Yisrael? The answer is Eris and Yisun and Arayos. Those are indicators of the special Kedushas Yisrael. And the Sefer Okeah Price, if you have a shared mitzvah, you can't recite a bracha. If we recite Berachas Erisin, according to the Rambam, which is a Berachas HaMitzvah, that must be because this is a unique form of Ishus, not the same Ishus of Ben Noach. So I'll tell you, according to the Rambam, that's why Chazal instituted such a bracha. You're about to recite a Berachas HaMitzvah on Ishus. But in order to justify the bracha, you have to demonstrate that this Ishus is not the same Ishus as that of Eden Noah. So let's talk. Now, Asher Kedushim Mitzvah Sivano Al Harayos. Now, Harayos is the indicator that this Ishus of Yisrael is not considered to be the same as Eden Noah. V'osamanu es Ha'arusos. That's only true when it comes to Yisrael, not when it comes to Eden Noah. That's only true when it comes to Yisrael, not when it comes to Ben Noach. Right? This is what allows, it justifies the Birchas HaMitzvah and Yishus of Yisrael. And what better chasima than Mekadesh Amo Yisrael, Ayidei Chuppah VeKedushin. This is the Kiddush of Yisrael, now Mekadesh Amo Yisrael. This, according to the Rambam, is the Birchas HaMitzvah, but so much would have been missing if we just said, Asher Kiddush HaMitzvah Zun Mekadesh HaSayisha. Now, and therefore, the whole preamble, the whole context, in order to explain that this Ishus is considered to be that which is unique. But getting back to our point, Tzedakah. Now, many Rishonim assumed that Ben Noach is Chayv in Tzedakah as well. The proof that stone was destroyed because of tzedakah. Now the Ramban, lo nechtadino el al hatzedakah. Now the pasuk in Yechezkel, the yad ani ve'evion lo hezika. This is against the Ramban. The Ramban is explicit that a Ben Noach is not obligated in tzedakah. A Ben Noach is not obligated in tzedakah at all. You know, we have a concept of enu mitzuvios. Women are exempt from lulav, sukkah, shofar. If a woman desires to do so, of course, women take a lulav, women hear shofar, women will sit in sukkah, of course. Enu mitzuviosen. The Rambam writes, a theme for another shir, but a fascinating concept that at times, there is a similar concept of enu mitzuviosen when it comes to a ben noach. Not always, but at times. If a ben noach will come forward desiring to perform a mitzvah that they're exempt from, sometimes, that we would give them that option. The Rambam gives an example of tzedakah. If a Ben Noach desires to give tzedakah, we will not say, absolutely not, you're not obligated in tzedakah, but we'll say, optionally, in your own volition, you have the right to go ahead and to do so. That's the Rambam's example of Enu Metzuva Va'osen. So the Rambam is clear that a Ben Noach is exempt from tzedakah, against the Rokeach. Against the view of the Ran. What about their proofs? Avraham Avinu was praised because Lasso Sadaka Umishpa? Maybe that's not such a proof. Just because a person is praised, does that necessarily mean that he was discharging his obligation? Maybe the proof regarding Avraham Avinu was his ability to go above and beyond the Shemitzah's Benoah. That's exactly the point of that particular pasuk. What about the second? Now, and that is the destruction of Sodom and Amora, right? The iniquity, the avon of Sodom, the yad uneven no hechzika. Doesn't it sound unfair, right, to punish and to wipe out a city for failing to fulfill a mitzvah they are exempt from? No? So according to the Rambam, that if they are exempt from the mitzvah of tzedakah, why is it that failure to do so warranted their destruction? So apparently the answer is exactly this. If a person were to have, right, a society that outlaws tzedakah, where gemilus chasadim is considered to be a capital offense, and one is put to death because of practicing tzedakah. If I were to ask you that, what is wrong with that society? It is the entire answer that, well, there's a mitzvah of tzedakah that they're unable to fulfill. A society outlaws nicham aveilim and bikur cholam. The Rambam writes, nicham aveilim and bikur cholam are dinim d'rabanan, mitzvahs d'rabanan. So if a society were to outlaw those acts of chesed, is that it? That the society simply is guilty of religious discrimination because they're not allowing us to fulfill the mitzvah d'rabbanan? Or obviously, no, is there something beyond, no? The fact that a person decides not to give tzedakah, that's a bittul esay. Good? A society that prohibits tzedakah, isn't that an indicator of moral decay and decadence, that society is not worthy, right, of existing? And therefore, according to the Rambam, that no doubt is the Chiddush, that Sodom was destroyed precisely because of their failure to exercise tzedakah, despite the fact that they were technically exempt from the mitzvah. Because irrespective of the exempted or not, isn't there a certain expectation? Isn't there a certain expectation? And isn't there a moral value when a society is able to perform acts of chesed? And isn't it a terrible indictment of a society which outlaws gemilas chasadim? And therefore, the Torah tells us here, right, that there were many averos regarding the Dor HaMabul. That certainly is true. One of them was Gezel. And yes, Gezel is part of the Shemitzah Zbinoah, but why is that highlighted? It's highlighted, as the Ramban writes, because of a recognition that irrespective of the mitzvah and the iser, there's an expectation that society is not going to condone Gezel. And society will do everything they can to prevent that from occurring. And if not, that society is worthy of destruction. And the most extreme example of Sodom is they weren't even obligated in tzedakah. But a society that outlaws tzedakah is worthy of destruction, not because of the mitzvah shabbat, because of the positive law, but rather because it's reflection. And therefore, there's an expectation of tzedakah. And therefore, the Rambam maintained that Abinoach is exempt from tzedakah, but Sodom was destroyed because of its failure too. Why is that considered to be a contradiction at all? Important concept. I've often mentioned that when we think of asks of gemilas chasadim, nichum aveilim, bikur cholim, if someone were to ask you that, where's the pasuk? Where's the tzivui? Where's the mitzvah of bikur cholim and nichum aveilim? You're going to be hard pressed. You're going to be hard pressed to find, right, that particular mitzvah. Right? Where exactly, right, is it found? The Rambam writes, no, there is no explicit mitzvah of nichum aveilim and bikur cholim. The Rambam does write, harein bechlal v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, that, yeah, v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha includes many things. Among them is bikur cholim, nichum aveilim. But it is somewhat surprising, if this is part of like the fabric of who we are, that there shouldn't be a mitzvah which is explicit. So that, I think, requires explanation. That why is it that all of Tariq mitzvahs, you don't find a mitzvah bikur cholim, you don't find a mitzvah nichum aveilim? I would suggest two different approaches, somewhat related, but two different approaches. Number one is as follows, that there is a Gemara, you know, Sotan Daf Yedalev, Rav Chamer Bar Chanina, Achrei Hashem Lokeichem Teleichem. Kadosh Baruch Hu says you have to follow my lead. No, you have to do what I do. And the Gemara gives such examples. The Gemara tells us, no, when Avraham Avinu was recuperating from his bris milah, well, all of a sudden, Ve'erah of Avraham, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, comes for Bikur Cholim. Later, right, Avraham Avinu is Niftar, all of a sudden, Kadosh Baruch Hu appears, Vayivarech es Yitzchak Beno, the Brach of Nichum Aveinu. So it's amazing. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that, like, this is what I do. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu engages in Bikur Cholim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu engages in Nichum Aveinu. And then turns to us and says, Achrei Hashem Elokeichem Chem Teleichu. In other words, when it comes to certain areas, and I would suggest especially when it comes to that which has been Adam Mechavero, one is limited in terms of what can teach by instruction. You're obligated to teach, right? By example. You have to exemplify those midos. And then you can turn to others and say that, Achrei Hashem Elokeichem Teleichu. You want children to appreciate the importance of chesed, so you have to create an environment of gemilus chasadim. It's not enough just simply to say, there is a Rambam, that right, that there's a mitzvah of gemilus chasadim. One has to do more. And therefore, of course the Torah conveys, but it conveys through modeling, not through a sense of seemingly. And therefore, yes, it's not going to be found in Taryag Mitzvos, but undeniably, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, and therefore, Afrei Hashem Lokechem, Teleichu. So I'll tell you, that's one, I think, very good reason why it is that the Torah doesn't single this out as a mitzvah, but rather, the Torah shows you, which is so much of the thrust of Shefer Bereishis, not the mitzvah Sheba, that's Tariq Mitzvah Zon Rosh Mishinai, but rather the appropriateness, the appropriate conduct in order to go in to emulate. And therefore, Afrei Hashem Lokechem Teleichu. But another, a somewhat different but related answer is as follows. And that is, why is an Otzivui of Bikur Chomer Nichom Aveilim? Precisely because of that point. And that is that there is more to Bikur Cholim and Nichom Aveilim than simply the fact that it is one of the Tariq Mitzvahs. There is an expectation of Bikur Cholim and Nichom Aveilim, independent of any tzivui. And a society will be indicted if they fail to practice Bikur Cholim and Nichom Aveilim, irrespective, independent of the tzivui. Just as stone was destroyed because they failed to give tzedakah, even though technically Benoach is exempt from the mitzvah of tzedakah itself. And therefore, the Torah demonstrates this expectation by showing us that it's an imperative to engage in Bikur Cholim Nichom, but it's not a mitzvah. It's not one of the Tariq mitzvahs. In the broadest strokes, it's a part of the Abdul Recha Kamocha, absolutely, but it's not considered to be a mitzvah mufuret. It's not an explicit, express mitzvah, perhaps exactly for that purpose, because our engaging these practices should go beyond. Of course, one is obligated to follow mitzvah satorah, but one is also obligated beyond the Tariq mitzvahs. And therefore, there's emphasized by expectations and chiyuvim that are not necessarily considered to be among the Tariq mitzvahs themselves. Therefore, both of these, I think, are considered to be critical. Yeah.
Well, for argument's sake, why were Bnei Noach can argue in the Dor HaMavo, where do we get this expectation from? Why is it inherent in the human psyche, in human DNA?
That's what Reino Nissim Gon writes, that if it's a mitzvah muskeles, that is built in.
Right. So what? The human personality?
Right. So the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, I will tell you that Tzelem Elokim, that was implanted in all of us, dictates that this really is true. In other words, that if, for example, Rahman al-Islam, the Torah Hashem were to say that saving a life is evil, right, and killing is appropriate, would we say, okay, right? Wouldn't that create a sense of a moral dilemma, moral tension? So, of course, we observe the Tzivui Hashem, but we don't believe that the Tzivui Hashem is capricious, is random, is it reflects the moral ethic. And therefore, we're surprised if there's a sense of attention. You know, if Avraham Avinu was told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to wipe out a city, right, he responded. He responded because of a certain innate and inherent response that maybe that's not. No doubt that at the end of the day, the Gemara Brachos and Daf Yud, Madim Mifkadasi Balach Huneva, we have to fulfill the Tzivui Hashem. When it comes to that point, that we see that this is the Tzivui Hashem, we surrender our intuition right, to the Tzivui Hashem. That's absolutely clear. Absolutely clear. But nonetheless, in terms of reasoning and working through that conflict, that's very natural. There's an amazing comment regarding Avraham Avinu when it comes to the Akedah. Now, Avraham Avinu was told that Kiv Yitzhaki Karlo Chazar. Good. You're going to have a descendant in Zera. Zera, you know, is something which is enduring, perpetual. Now, Tosus. Nivamos and Avchav Beis. Where's that Yom Yavtun? Not there yet. No? Yavtun?
Tomorrow.
Ooh. Today. Whoa. Okay, good. Okay. Nivamos Chav Beis and Avchav. Now, Tosus says two differences in Allah between the term Ben and Zera. Zera means something which is enduring, something which is perpetual. Kiv Yitzhaki Karlo Chazar. Good. That means this will be enduring. Okay. Kadosh Baruch Hu promise. Good to go. All of a sudden, kachnas minches yichidcha. Akeda. Okay. Avram Avinu goes. All of a sudden, I'll fish lochecha. Stop. So Avram Avinu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's happening here? Now, you told me Kivi Yitzchak. Then you told me Kafna Zbincha. Now you told me Al Tishlach. Right. How do you resolve that difficulty? So I ask you a very simple question. Now, you know, when you're a Magid Shir, you want to make Shirim compelling. Good? So you pile one kasha on another, on another, on another, you leave. Whoa! Five kashas, one teretz, Axum's razor. Now, like this, one teretz accommodated all possibilities. Great. Now, but you know what? You can have a kasha without A contradicts B. That's a kasha. That's a kasha. No? It doesn't have to be A contradicts B. Which contradicts C? And that, okay. And now, like, so Avraham Avinu was told, Ki Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazara. All of a sudden, Avraham Avinu was told, Kafna Zbinich HaSyukiko. If you were I, we probably would have said, ooh, what's going on here exactly? No? First you said Zera. Now you're saying Kafna. How do you resolve it? Avraham Avinu didn't say anything at all. Didn't say anything at all. All of a sudden, I'll tish lochet chalanar. Don't do it. All of a sudden, Avraham Avinu. Now I have a good kasha. Now, A versus B versus C. Like, what's wrong with A and B? The stakes are pretty high, you know? You know what the answer is? The answer is, you can have any type of quandary or moral dilemma or question. But you know what the bottom line is? Ma demifkadas, ibalachon eva. You have to follow the Tzivur Hashem. That's the bottom line. You have to follow the Tzivur Hashem. And you have to put aside any kasha that you have. Shelve it. Put it on the back burner. Right now, this is what you have to do. This is what you have to do. So therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Ki v'sekar chazara. But Kadosh Baruch Hu right now told me, Kachnas binchas yechidcha, this is what I must do. How will I resolve this with the previous promise? I'll work that out. But, you know, I have no right to say, hold it. I have no right to say that. All of a sudden, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, don't, stop. Al tishlechecha. Now I have no Tzivui Hashem to do anything more. Once that's true, once the Tzivui Hashem has come to an end, and once you are not being told to do, you know, now is the appropriate time to say, okay, let's chazer. Now, how did all of this fit together? How is it Kiv Yitzchak and Kafnas Bincha and Al Tishle Yoncha? But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you do, the answer is, you do. And any moral dilemma, moral quandary you have, you know what, I assure you, that will be resolved. But nonetheless, you cannot put the Tzivui Hashem on hold. I think it's a pretty important Musar Haskel. Now, that's the Gemara Brachos and Daf Yud. Now, not this example, but the Gemara says that, what do you mean? You could have all legitimate, but Ma Demifkados, Ibadah Kameta. You don't know more than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you, this is what you have to do, this is what you have to do. You have a right to, if there's a suffix, make sure, an obligation, that this is the Tzivui Hashem. But if the Tzivui Hashem is unambiguous, and the Tzivui Hashem is kafnas binchas yechidcha, the answer is that you march, and that's what one is obligated to do. And when that comes to an end, and there's no longer any Tzivui Hashem, so now we can talk. Now we can kind of work out all the very important pressing details. Now, but it's an important Musar Haskel. But the fact that we have, right, a certain expectation, right? So look, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, bestows such bracha upon us, and we are the constant beneficiaries of Al Kol Tov Shegolanu. So the fact that there's an expectation that V'halachta B'drachu, V'nachrei Hashem Elokeichem Teichu, and Zekei V'anbeyu, Ani V'hu, the Sugim Shabbos, Kufan Gimel, no, so that creates a mechayiv. That creates a mechayiv. That irrespective of, Ani V'hu, Ani V'hu is not found in one of the Taryag Mitzvos, that they have to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way? No, but that's what Zekei Aveyu means. Anivu, Abisho. And therefore, this is what you have to do, irrespective of whether in fact it is true. So this is why I would tell you that there's so much to the Torah Mishnah beyond the Taryag Mitzvahs. Because there are expectations, and there's modeling. Now that the Torah sets a certain bar, a certain standard, by what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. And you have to go ahead and follow that lead, you know, you've been to enough shiurim that you know I often cite the Chizkuni, you know? The Chizkuni in Parshas Balosva. Right? So, it's important. Importance of modeling. Chizkuni is bothered that, of course, why is it that the Torah has a shevet system when it comes to avod and beis hamikdash. What was wrong with the bechor system? You know, the bechor system sounds so reasonable, not so fair, so democratic. I go to the beis hamikdash, there's a good chance my father-in-law is there, my son-in-law is there, my brother-in-law is there, my cousin is there. There'll be somebody who's a bechor who's serving. You know, I'll feel a certain closeness. You know, the answer is no. It's only, right? Not the Bechor, but it's only a Shevet. Why is it so essential to have the Shevet system? I always tell my Talmidim that, you know, you never know when you're going to be asked to give a Torah. Right? So you always have to be prepared. I mean, you can't just say, well, I'm not prepared. And they'll say, what do you do? I learn Yeshiva. No, you have to be prepared. How can you not be prepared? Now, this is your onus. Now, your specialty is this expertise. And I say, do you have something to say? And you say, no. And I say, you have to always prepare and always prepare well. So I tell them, have this chizkuni in your pocket. Now, because after all, right, it's appropriate for a bris and a din and a shiur rachas and a bar mitzvah, whatever it is. Now you can use this chizkuni. Now, so you may remember that I mentioned it under the chuppah actually, the tinak chasen. Now that the chizkuni writes that you need a shevet system for modeling, because you may very well be a bechor, but who says that you have a bechor? And if you have a bechor, you have one bechor. So imagine you're going off to do avod and beis hamikdash, and you're going to leave the children behind. Or imagine that you're not a bechor, but you have a child who's a bechor. And the child says to you, you know, show me avodas Hashem. And the answer is, I can't show this to you. This is not something that I show you. This is something you have to learn from somewhere else. But the Chizkuni writes that that was the flaw of the bechor system, that you can't model. When you have a shevet system, so therefore, right, the Zayd and the father and the son and the grandson, the great grandson, the shevet mitzvah. So therefore, you have modeling. Now that maybe before the Chet HaEgel, in an idyllic world, maybe modeling wouldn't have been as necessary. You just tell a person this is what you have to do, and they would run and do it. But once it was clear that Knesset Yisrael fell so short, it was clear that modeling, having an environment which is conducive to, or having that type of exposure, was absolutely necessary in order to appropriately perpetuate, right, our Mesorah. That's a beautiful comment of the Chizkuni. And then you conclude, now, and therefore at today's risk and adventure, the family, the modeling, the logic, and everything's good. You walk out smiling. What do? I learn in yeshiva. It's an important Musar Haska. But part of all these chiyuvim that don't have a tzivi Hashem, Chazalius emphasize that importance, the prominence, and able to model the Torah Hashem. That, I think, is most important in a time is a very difficult challenge. Now, without a tzivi mefurish, you'll to convey that this is, right, the personality, right, the Rambam writes in Perakei Hilchos Yisori HaTorah, that is the ultimate Kiddush Hashem. In extreme cases, and a person is willing to give up his life, l'man Hashem, of course. But the Rambam continues, and how on a day-to-day basis a person can live, that people can point that individual and say, Asher b'cha espar. No, this is Kvod Shamayim. This is how, like, the Jews should live. The Rambam writes in Perakei Hilchos Yisori HaTorah. That's the ultimate. That's the ultimate form of Kiddush Hashem, Rachman al Islam. If that does not happen, a terrible sense of Chil Hashem. And the greater a person is tooled, the higher the expectation, and the greater the potential for terrible, like the Chil Hashem. So a person has to recognize it's not a time to be an anus, no? Everybody has to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you this ability, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you the opportunity to be able to inspire and to influence, and it can be done in so many different ways, but modeling is, right, the effective way of seeing to it that one could lead that sense of life. What we glean from Sefer Bereishis is not the instruction of Sefer Bereishis, of the Rambam writes, that mitzvot, tayag mitzvot, that's not the role of, right, the Sefer Bereishis. No, but it's the inspiration of, it's the modeling, the hanhaga, the character. And the Chazon Ish terms the Ratzon HaTorah, not the Tzivui HaTorah, but the Ratzon HaTorah, the Ratzon Hashem. That, no doubt, is part of the significance of all these parshios that we lane, and I would argue is emphasized by the destruction of the world in the Dor HaMabul, and the destruction of Sodom, their failure to appropriately exercise right, their obligation of tzedakah.
Thank you.